This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
WNYC Studios is supported by W.W. Norton & Company, publishers of Poetry Unbound by Padraig O Tuama, a poetry anthology that offers immersive reflections, keen insights, and personal anecdotes on 50 powerful poems. Focusing on poets mainly writing today, Poetry Unbound engages with a diverse array of voices that includes Ada Limon, Ilya Kaminsky, Margaret Atwood, Ocean Vuong, Layli Long Soldier, and Reginald Dwayne Betts. Poetry Unbound is now in paperback.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
No one living has ever seen anything quite like what's happening to our economy now. Tens of millions of Americans have filed for unemployment in just a matter of weeks. Millions more can't even get through the systems to file. We don't know how many workers have been furloughed or had their hours cut. And there's already concern that the multi-trillion dollar relief package won't be enough to tide us over to the other side of this pandemic, whenever that comes. The pain is just enormous. And the brunt of it is being borne by those who didn't have much of a cushion to begin with. To make sense of where things are headed, last week I called up John Cassidy, who covers economics and politics for The New Yorker. John, we're hearing so many dire statistics about the economy. Before we dive into them, how would you differentiate between the Great Depression and the way that began and the way it stuck around for years and what we seem to be entering here during this coronavirus economic crisis?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I mean, they are very different. They're similar in that they're huge, they're just huge downturns. But the Great Depression, the stock market crash was in October 1929, and unemployment didn't peak until 1933 at about 25%. So it was a gradual process, whereas what we've seen here is just a sudden stop to the economy. So it's more like a heart attack than the Great Depression. We've just said, bang, stop, not everything, but a lot of things. And we've imposed these enormous restrictions on the economy, but on the other side, these equally enormous rescue programs to try and keep businesses and households on life support until we allow the economy to come back again. What we're starting to find in the last couple of weeks is that these life support programs, even though they are very large, they're not reaching everybody. And a lot of people are being laid off. We knew that would happen, but a lot of the people who are being laid off aren't getting access to their unemployment claims, and a lot of firms aren't getting access to the programs that they're entitled to.
Now, you say that we turned the economy off artificially, obviously for public health reasons. At some point, whether gradually or quickly, a lot of those restrictions will be reversed. And we hope it's soon, and we hope it's done in the healthiest way possible. Why wouldn't the economy then swing back upward the way the president claims daily?
Well, there certainly will be some comeback. I don't think anybody thinks that reopening parts of the economy won't have any impact. I mean, just arithmetically, obviously, businesses which are closed, if they open, factories start operating again. But the problem is that all the indications are it won't come back as strongly as it is before for a few reasons. The main one being that most people, or a lot of people, are still very reluctant to go out until we get a full handle or on the virus, testing, or better still, some sort of vaccine or therapeutic. You can look around the world. I mean, we're basically a month or two behind Asia, and the Asian countries did start reopening their economy about a month or 6 weeks ago. And what you see there is definitely a bounce back, but it's nowhere near as strong as it was before. I was looking, for example, at the casinos in Macau. They're only running at 20% of the previous revenues, which suggests that 80% of the customers are still staying away. I'm not saying that's going to be replicated everywhere in the US. I think things will obviously come back stronger than 20%, but it just gives an indication of the challenges we see ahead.
At the start of the pandemic, the first people to lose their jobs were in jobs like restaurants and airlines and hotels. Where's the next wave of job losses likely to be concentrated?
Well, this is what the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department policymakers are trying to avoid. As you said, basically the frontline industries get closed down first. But what you often get in a severe economic downturn, as some industries turn down, people lose income, people are thrown out of work, people start to give up on bank loans, etc. You get a spiraling downwards. And the second wave of unemployment basically is economy-wide, just because all businesses see a dropping demand. So you're starting to see that now in industries like media, for example, where advertising has collapsed. So media companies are starting to lay people off. You see it in secondary industries which depend on travel. For example, the airline manufacturing industry, General Electric, which makes aircraft engines. Boeing is not building as many planes as it used to do, so General Electric can't sell as many engines. It feeds down through the supply chain, and you're going to see that in industry after industry if this goes on for a few months.
So far, 26.5 million people have filed for unemployment, and there's indications that by the time we go on the air in a few days, there will be even more people filing, many more millions. Just how high could the unemployment rate climb?
Well, there are various estimates. I mean, most people think that we're up to about 30 million now, given this week's claims. And most people think it'd go considerably higher from there. In terms of unemployment rates, there have been estimates as high as 30%. I think the consensus on Wall Street is about 20, 25%. We'll get a figure a week on Friday, on May the 8th, for April. And it's likely to be the highest rate since, well, some people think it might be the highest rate that since the recession of the 1980s. Some people think it might be even go back to the 30s.
You've seen a lot of frontline workers at places like Amazon, Walmart, FedEx, upset over their pay and their personal safety. Do you think this crisis is going to have an effect on the labor movement, which has been, compared to decades in the past, relatively weak? And do you think there'll be a bigger push for $15 minimum wage and other benefits?
Yes, I think it depends how long it lasts. It certainly give it a push at the moment. You're already seeing more union organization, more activism, as you say, in the meat processing plants where conditions were terrible and more than 20 workers have already died because they have to stand so close to each other and the virus was spreading. You see quite effective activism there, although Trump has now undermined it by imposing a sort of federal emergency order. But anyway, to answer the broader question about whether there's going to be a bigger rebound, Amazon is a test case, of course, because they've always resisted unionization and a very aggressive management style. There was a protest in Staten Island a few weeks ago about the sort of health and safety and the reaction to the coronavirus, and they fired the people who organized it. They do that all over the country. So I think Amazon could be the test case, and if they were to be forced to accept unionization, that would be a huge victory for the labor movement. I mean, I've written about this, lots of people have written about it. Extended crises, wars, pandemics, etc., if they go on a long time, do tend to produce big political changes and big social changes, and often in a progressive direction, because it becomes obvious in crises, in wars and in pandemics, the contribution made by ordinary people and working people. We see that we can't, actually the economy can't work if there's nobody producing meat. The economy can't work if there's nobody delivering packages.
Well, how is it unique in this country? In other words, what has the pandemic revealed economically in the United States as opposed to other places, comparatively?
Well, the United States is a more unequal country and has been historically than most other Western democracies. And what the pandemic has done in various ways is just illuminating these underlying inequities and inequalities that have been there a long time. So all those things are coming together. And I think if the crisis was to go on for years, that would definitely feed through into sort of progressive programs and a wave of populism, big legislation, big changes, as we saw during the Great Depression and we see after the Second World War. But if it's only a few months and if it bounced back, I think it's much more difficult to sustain that sort of movement and that pressure for change. So a lot depends on how the pandemic plays out, basically, I think.
Well, What is the best possible scenario here? The worst possible scenarios we've gone through in pretty grim detail. What is the best that can happen economically here?
Well, I think the best scenario we can have is a sort of gradual, reasonably strong bounce back. Even Trump himself has now stopped talking about a bounce back in the summer, and he's saying that things will bounce back in the third quarter, which begins in September. That may be reasonable. So if we can get mass testing working by, Fauci said the other day that it'll be working by the end of May, but I think that's probably too optimistic. But if we can get it up and running at least by the summer, the idea is that by the fall, when colleges and schools, if they start going back, that'll be obviously a big change. If the factories are mostly reopened, restaurants and other businesses are reopened using social distancing, and the idea that the Fed's programs have worked, we won't have had a full-on financial collapse, and things will be heading in the right direction. I think that's the best reasonable scenario, and we get a reasonably strong but gradual recovery.
And do you think the odds are halfway decent for that?
Well, I think they're better than they were, just because the federal response, it can't be as bad as it was in the beginning, because it was non-existent in the beginning. I think businesses and states are gradually realize they had to work around the federal government. Like the New York being a good example, is starting to introduce mass testing, serology tests, etc. But also on the business side, they're starting to respond because they realize the government won't do it for them. So Amazon, for example, has said is now working on a program to test all its employees. JetBlue announcing that you have to wear a mask to get on a plane. So I think things are gradually moving in the right direction on the sort of testing and mask policy. But it would have been so much easier if we had proper leadership from the top, because it's all a matter of coordination, and that central coordination has just been sorely lacking, obviously.
John Cassidy, thanks so much.
Thank you.
John Cassidy is a staff writer specializing in politics and economics. You can read all of his work at newyorker.com and subscribe to his newsletter.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.